24th chapter in the Gospel by Luke, and verse 15, the 15th verse in the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The Lord appeared only to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. And the initial appearings were to persons, two or three in places, but not great assemblies immediately. In that there is encouragement as individuals to look for the gracious visitations of the Lord. And in the history of the church, one would appreciate that resurrection or reviving has usually commenced by the appearing of the Lord to individuals, and then the blessing has gradually extended and spread until wider communities have been graciously affected by the appearings of the Lord. These remarks are but introductory thoughts, but I hope they may encourage us to plead with the Lord that he will come to us and grant us some gracious involvement in what may yet be seen, the resurrection or the reviving of his church in the day in which we live. Well, the two that we're to consider together this evening are the two that went that same day to a village called Emmaus. And you remember that was the third day, the day of the resurrection. And these two men, Cleopas and another, and we're not told who the other was, there's been much speculation, but I feel certain that it was not one of the apostles, because verse 33 says they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. But if the 11 were gathered together at Jerusalem, we would not judge that it could have been one of the 11, and we must remember that by this time Judas had taken his life according to the solemn judgment that rested upon him for his terrible act in betraying our precious Lord. So it was Cleopas and another, but that they had a goodly measure of agreement, and the subject commanding the attention of each was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, the subsequent record tells us that they were in many ways in the dark, and their conversation didn't improve their understanding. One would judge that as they talked together of all the things which had happened at Jerusalem, that is, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and his burial, and their thoughts and confusions subsequent to that happening, we would appreciate that they didn't improve each other's state of mind, but rather added to the confusion which must have prevailed until the incidents of the text and what subsequently occurred. But they talked together of all these things that had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that word reason could also be rendered disputed. So I don't think it would be right to judge that they saw absolutely eye to eye. There were some differences of opinion, disagreements, if you like, while they employed their own minds together in seeking to interpret the strange things that had happened at Jerusalem. Now, one cannot question that these were good men, gracious men, men of God. But one can see that despite their graciousness, something had occurred which was obviously beyond their powers to interpret. And my friends, the Lord did not falsely charge them when at length he said, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Sometimes our reasoning reveals our folly. Our conversation shows the hollowness of our understanding in the things of God. And these men, as they reasoned together, one doesn't judge that they were of any real help one to the other. But the mercy for them was that the Lord didn't leave them. The Lord knew their inability and their folly as they reasoned and talked together. But the Lord didn't forsake them. He drew near to them. Now, what grace there is in that fact. But there is encouragement in regard to these two men as we look close to the subject that they were discussing together. They were not spiritually unconcerned. They were not spiritually indifferent. They hadn't the answer. And one would judge that they had not an ability to help one another in the strange things that had happened. But nevertheless, their minds were fixed upon spiritual things. Now, my friends, I do believe that exercised souls, although they may not have the answer to many of the problems which beset them, but they are concerned about the things of God, they are the ones to whom the Lord graciously draws near. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, the Lord brought to bear his grace, his wisdom, his love upon these two men, Cleopas and his companion, that the end of their journey differed greatly from its commencement. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, while they discussed what was strange to them, when the Lord raised the question, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" The Lord didn't leave it there. He knew all about the things that had come to pass in Jerusalem, far more than ever they could know. But he raises the question, "What things? What things?" And Cleopas answers concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And then he makes a confession or profession. "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." And he goes on and relates the experience of the women that did not in any wise alleviate their confusion of thought, but everything seemed to be so strange and so difficult. Well, until the Lord appears and opens the eyes of our understanding, there are many things which seem impossible to reconcile. And this is the point of the text. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, there was the key to the whole reconciling of their minds and hearts together in the things which had happened and the things which they were together to experience as the Lord went with them. And my friends, there is not a situation, however confusing, however trying it may be, but what the Lord is sufficient to interpret it to perfection. Now, you and I may have mysterious things to pass through, and we may, as it were, enter into a conversation with companions in hope that they may apply their grace and wisdom to our problems, and we may hope that in consequence of communion together we may come to a satisfactory conclusion, and still remain wide of the point. We may still remain beclouded as to the true interpretation of the will and way of the Lord with us. But my friends, the Lord always has the key. Interpretations belong unto God. And when the Lord interprets, every crooked thing lays straight and every rough place is made plain. And I have said this to you before, and I reiterate it with real conviction. I believe a day is coming in the experience of every saint when everything will appear to be in perfect order. "What thou knowest not now, thou shalt know hereafter." And my friends, I believe there's a day coming when the saints will be able to reflect on the way of God for them through life, when everything will appear to be in the perfect order of an all-wise and ever gracious God. Now, that may not be in this world. That may not be in this time state. But I believe that the wisdom of God in his dealings with his people will be known to his people one day with such perfect acquiescence that they wouldn't have a thing altered if they could in any particular, because they will then appreciate the perfection of God's will and way for them and with them too. Now you and I, we want this altered and we want that changed, and life would be much better if we could just change this little particular, or if we could, as it were, unshoulder that problem. Ah, but my friends, as for God, his way is perfect. And when you and I are in our right mind and the Lord is walking with us, we don't want anything altered. We don't want anything changed. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. You know, the Lord withheld for a time to these disciples the great blessing that was theirs. And sometimes we're not suffered to appreciate the presence of the Lord, what the Lord is doing with us, where the Lord is leading us and guiding us. We're not to know immediately, but at length, to these disciples, the whole matter was resolved. Well, they couldn't help one another. Their hearts were sad after they had had these communications in journeying together. But when the Lord came, the Lord brought all he is with him. I use that expression because I don't know how to convey the point otherwise. When the Lord draws near, all that the Lord is with us. And that was the experience of these two brethren. All his wisdom was present with them when Jesus came. All the interpretation of scripture bearing upon the issue that was troubling them and perplexing them, it was there with them when Jesus was with them. Their confusion that was in themselves gave place to the absolute understanding that was in himself. So that their trouble and their perplexity, their tossings of mind, and their inability to assist one another, all gave place to that which Jesus is. And what did Jesus produce for them? Joy and peace in believing. That's what those two men enjoyed when they went forward after the Lord had made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. My friends, they didn't go as sad disciples to the other apostles and those that were met with them. Verse 33. Because the Lord had brought to bear upon their hearts and minds those things which are in him to help and comfort and deliver his people. Well, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The presence of the Lord made the difference. It didn't immediately make the difference, as their eyes were holy and they continued unfolding to him the confusion of their thoughts by reason of the things that had happened. And I think it is clear that they were uncertain with regard to their faith. But we trusted that it had been he which should have saved Israel or have redeemed Israel. We trusted, we put our confidence in Jesus of Nazareth. We felt sure he was the promised Messiah that should come into the world. He should be the Savior, the Redeemer of Israel. But things haven't worked out as we thought. They have worked out as God said, but they haven't worked out as we thought, because there's a difference between what God said and the interpretation we've put upon it. And my friends, if your circumstance and mine develops in a way that seems to violate the fulfillment of Scripture, the trouble is in us. It's in us. Because God's word and his works are consistent throughout. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Things are going on. And sometimes it seems that things are going on. But the longer the time, the more confused we become. But oh, this is the third day. This is the third day, and this is the risen Redeemer. This is the one who truly was sufficient to support and confirm their faith. He was the trustworthy Redeemer of Israel. Their faith hadn't been misplaced, as they were beginning to allow, but their faith was truly placed upon the one who was and is anointed a prince and a savior. My friends, have you ever shaken upon the temptation that your faith has been misplaced? You've wondered in regard to the former exercises of your heart by reason of present happening. But when the Lord drew near and went with them, he confirmed that which he had done for them in past years. And, you know, when the Lord draws near and goes with us, and we reach the fulfillment of his purpose in so doing. Not only does he give us new experience, he gives us a confirmation of all that's gone before. And that's just what happened to these men. They knew that all their former experience, that faith in Jesus Christ, which had been to them a great source of comfort until they came into this strange development, this unexpected occurrence. But my friends, when he revealed himself to them, then they had their faith reaffirmed, and I believe all that stood in question was no longer in question by reason of the presence of the Lord with them. Well, now, they were the subjects of a most remarkable ministry. For the Lord gave them a sermon which was so profound that it gathered up the teaching of Moses and all the prophets. Now, these men had a Bible. They had a Bible. But that Bible didn't afford to them a help and comfort until the exposition of relative scriptures was given to them. The Lord Jesus Christ, to show to them the necessity of his own sufferings and the true interpretation of the things which were confusing their minds, didn't go outside of the Bible. He didn't introduce anything strange. My friends, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Scripture. If you and I are in confusion of mind over anything, the answer's in the Scripture. And Jesus led them from Moses through the prophets and showed them the necessity of the things which were breeding confusion within their minds. How that commends a prayerful study of the Scriptures to us, doesn't it? When we're in darkness of mind and confusion of spirit, the answer's within the Word. The Lord will show us those things that are troubling us in the light of his Word. Then we shall have the answer, as these men had the answer. Well, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, and they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." Now, do you know what it is to want a continuation of the Lord's presence? You want him to still come, to go with you. Why? The fact that he's with you has had such an effect upon your spirit that you're jealous of its preservation. You know where you were until he drew near. When he drew near, it made such a change, a blessed change, that you're jealous of the preservation of his presence. Now I'm going to ask a question. It's a very solemn question to ask. Do you know the difference between the presence and absence of the Lord? You won't know the absence of the Lord until you know his presence. When you know his presence, if you're in anything like a healthy state of soul, your mourn is absent. you'll dread his absence. Now it's a blessed thing to know the presence of the Lord, because as these men experienced it, it was something most desirable. Abide with us. Abide with us. Don't leave us. Don't forsake us. Abide with us. How many times have you prayed that prayer? When you've enjoyed the Lord's presence, you want it to continue. It's toward evening and the day is fast spent, or some of our older friends perhaps feel the interpretation of that scripture very keenly, as life, you're in the evening of life. Abide with us. Don't leave us. Don't leave us now. Well, the Lord condescended. He was constrained by them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. Now it seems as though that was an ordinary provision made for them in a temporal way and manner. But the Lord sanctified it. He used it. And the Lord can use means to bless. And he used here a simple means as he sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And that's when he took leave of them. But my friends, what had he left with them? A token of his broken body. A token of his broken body. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And I believe in that we have a very clear indication of the same, and that has been again and again fulfilled in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, when the Lord blesses the symbol of the broken bread. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And when he'd given them that token, he vanished out of their sight. But the influence of his presence remained with them, because they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? I reiterate this, I think I've said it probably more than once to you before, but heart here is in a singular tense. Now I often hear it, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked? No, the scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says, did not our heart burn within us? One heart. One heart. And my friends, when the Lord comes, he makes two one. He makes two one. The Lord's presence with two sinners unites as nothing else can on earth. Now, do you know what it is to be of one heart in the things of God? The Lord to unite you. So you say, we haven't got two hearts, we've got one heart. We're one in the things of God. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scripture? Jesus himself drew near. He went with them. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, why did they go to this company? Why did they select this assembly to visit and to relate the things which had happened to them on their journey to Emmaus? Because they knew that those people would be the people who would appreciate the things which they could relate of the leadings and dealings of their precious Lord with. Oh, have you ever said and felt, come and hear, all ye that fear God? These are the people among the people of the world. These are the people that will understand the things which I have to talk about, the things which I've experienced, these blessed heavenly things which are so precious to my soul. These are the people. Now come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the sweet and abiding communion of God, the Holy Ghost, be with us. Amen.